Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
The voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you did that. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. Gene Siciliano is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Gene is an outstanding resource in the marketplace. He helps people like you and me put our best foot forward with regard to the financial part of our business. He helps business owners become better financial managers. He actually wrote a book about it called Finance for the Non-Financial Manager. That sounds like you and me, doesn't it? And he's here to talk to us about some other things that are really important. Gene Siciliano, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Great to be back here with you.
It's always a pleasure to have you back. You know, Gene, I know one of the things you want to talk about today is how to be ready for what's coming at us. And hopefully it's starting, and as I've been talking about today with some other folks, it's starting to look like the light we're seeing at the end of the tunnel is not another train coming at us. Although there are other shoes that can drop, it does seem like that we're starting to see a glimmer of a ray of hope out there. And I'll set what you have to say up by saying that I've been telling my audience that in 2009, your default, your prime directive should be to be able to open your doors on 2010, in January 1, 2010. So plan. I'm sorry. Operate for survival. But I'm also saying, be sure while you're operating for survival, that you also plan for success. Meaning, be prepared to take advantage of the opportunities that are on our way. And that's what you've been talking about, isn't it?
It's exactly right. Yeah, and I think you're right. The economy is done going down. The only question is, what happens now? How long does it take to get back up on his feet and all that sort of thing? And this is a key time. One of the things that statistics have told us, Jim, is that there are more bankruptcy filings after a recession than during the recession.
Why is that?
Well, it looks like this to me. Businesses, when a recession is in full bloom, everybody is holding on. Everybody's conserving cash, and everybody is kind of keeping their legs together tightly to survive through it.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody looks alike. But when the recovery starts and the economy starts up again, the strong businesses have dry powder to be able to exert themselves and flex their muscles, and the weak companies don't, and that's when they start falling off the vine.
Yeah, and part of the reason, don't you think, is because they don't have the capital. They've eaten their capital. They've sort of eaten their fat during the tough times, and they don't have the capital to compete in the growing recovery. Is that part of it?
Absolutely right. That's the dry powder. You bet.
Yeah.
They don't have enough resources to both survive on the way down and flex their muscles on the way up.
How many times have you seen a company fail that was actually selling, having great sales, because they just didn't have the capital to support the growth that they were under?
All the time. I mean, that's a subject for another day. Having enough cash to recognize how much cash you need to keep that business going.
You see a guy walking down the street, and he looks like, you know, he just got hit by a truck, and you say, what happened? I don't know. Things were going great, and all of a sudden I'm out of business. That's exactly what happened, isn't it?
In some of my seminars, I actually show an example of that, of a company that starts up and has phenomenal sales and phenomenal profits, and 6 months later they're out of business because they didn't have enough capital.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly the kind of situation you're
in. So how do we, see, this tracks perfectly, folks, with Blasingame's third law of small business. It's redundant to say undercapitalized small business. We're all undercapitalized. So how do we make sure that we are adequately capitalized, this thing, at least, for this for what we hope and what we think is this coming recovery?
Well, I think there's a step before that, Jim, actually. It's not so much how do we make sure that we're adequately capitalized. It's defining what adequately capitalized means.
Okay.
And I think that means a little thought process. So if we think about planning, about trying to analyze a business, in fact, if we just think about plans for a moment, there are really two kinds of plans that we think of when we visualize that. And some of them are extensive and thoroughly detailed and go on for pages and pages and pages. And we've seen those on shelves and places like that. And others are done on the back of an envelope on the fly. And my contention is that neither of those work. At the bottom of a recession, you don't have time for all that detailed planning stuff. You're trying to survive, as you said earlier. And you can't afford to trust the back of the envelope, so you need something different. And I really think that's a SWOT analysis. That's the best tool to get identify the things that you need to address as that recovery starts, as the recession bottoms out and starts to pick up. You'll know what you have to do for the next year.
These are the most dramatic things, the most dramatic elements, good and bad, that are either about to hurt you or have the quickest potential to help you.
Absolutely right. That's where your focus ought to be. And how do you find that out quickly?
And after these messages, if you don't already know, Gene Siciliano is going to explain to you what SWOT means and how to install it in your operation. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Right back after these messages. Here's Foreigner to take us out.
You get around. You wanna fly. Don't put your feet on the ground. Just stay up. You won't be reeling in the years. Storing away the time. Are you gathering up the tears?
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. And I hope you'll check it out. And if you can, if you want to read, you want to listen, you want to ask questions, we got the ability to do all three of those. Articles, archives, thousands of those. Answers to questions that you can ask, thousands of those. We got 1,600 Brain Trust members, the largest community of small business experts in the world, right there at your service. And my blog is there. My newsletter, we'll send it to you every Sunday afternoon by email. I hope you'll subscribe to that. Well, it's free. So check all that out at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Gene Siciliano is our guest and our good friend, the author of Finance for the Non-Financial Manager. And we're talking about how to use a different kind of a tool, maybe, than you, a different kind of a perspective, maybe, than you've been doing recently to make sure that you survive and thrive as we move out of recession into recovery. And you want to use the SWOT analysis. Gene, tell the audience, just don't hold it out on them anymore. What does SWOT mean?
Okay, I'll do that. And interestingly, it's an analysis tool that I believe every business owner inherently already knows the answers to.
Right.
It sits there in the back of his mind, not in the front of his mind. So here's what it looks like. SWOT is an acronym. The letters are S-W-O-T. And S and W stand for strengths and weaknesses. These are attributes of the company internally. Its internal strengths and its internal weaknesses. I am sure every business owner knows what those are if they thought about it. And then O and T are opportunities and threats. Those are things that are external to the company that have an influence on the company's success. So in the course of an analysis, you look at what are your internal strengths, what are your internal weaknesses, and what are those outside opportunities that you could take advantage of or outside threats you have to worry about. And every business owner in his heart, because he knows his business, he lives his business, or her, they know what these are, but they don't think about them consciously. And in my mind, if you focus on what are those and you write them down, you put them on a piece of paper and say, oh, yes, of course, it will tell you what you need to do to be ready for the end of this recession.
Well, here's what happens by not defining any of this, it seems to me, Gene, by not defining it, by not putting everything in their own little bucket, so to speak. What happens is the weaknesses and the threats get bigger and louder than the strengths and the opportunities.
Well, and they scare us.
We
don't scare
we,
business owners, so they can't see the strengths and the opportunities.
Well, we're more afraid of the weaknesses and the threats than we are feeling strong about our strengths and our opportunities.
Yes.
And now that's if you don't define them and get them out on the table and see them for what they are.
I think that's right. That's the whole point. You put it on a piece of paper, suddenly it gets out of your head. It's clearer. It's amazing. You know, we talk about that when we talk about formal planning.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is when you put it down in writing and you look at it, it comes to life like it doesn't when it's floating around in our heads.
Let me give a quick practical example that people might recognize. Years ago, when I was an employee, whenever I decided to move on or whatever, for whatever reason, I decided to get my resume out after maybe a few years. I started writing down all the things that I now knew how to do. And I recognized that I knew how to do some stuff that I wasn't even giving myself credit for. But only because I wasn't cataloging those things.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? So I actually, once I did my resume, I felt I was a more marketable candidate than I did before I did the resume.
And actually, that's what a resume is, isn't it? It's
exactly
the
right. Yeah, exactly. And so, folks, with your own business, if you're feeling a little uncompetitive right now, if you're feeling a little bit threatened, if you're feeling like, you know, I don't know whether I'm, you know, if I've got the goods to make it to the finish line, do this thing that Gene's talking about. Gene, tell us how to do it.
Four pieces of paper: strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. And then you just sit down and say, what are the things that my company is most noted for? What are the things we do the very best? What are the things we do better than anybody else? You write them down.
What do our customers like about us?
Yeah, exactly. And now the next page is, what do they hate about us? What do we worry about ourselves? What isn't working for us? Is it my customer service that people complain about? Is it that our product development isn't up to snuff because we've been underfunding it? Write them down. Those are the weaknesses.
We don't have as good a location as we probably need. We could use a different line. My employees, I need to upgrade my employees. And if you're having trouble filling this one out, folks, you probably need to ask your customers.
You bet. And by the way, don't feel afraid to get your middle management team or the other people in your company involved as well. They may see things
right
that you won't get to the front of your mind because you just can't be that objective.
Well, and we're a little too close to things sometimes.
You bet, yeah. So then the last two papers, opportunities and threats, same thing, but outside. Here's where you're looking out at your customers is really important, and perhaps your suppliers as well.
Mm-hmm.
What are the opportunities out there in the marketplace that I could do if I simply leverage these strengths a little bit differently? What are the threats that I have to worry about that I should do something to block their progress? Wouldn't it be nice if General Motors had recognized the threat from Toyota and had started to respond to that by building better cars?
Right. Or the threat of giving too much concessions to the unions.
What that would
ultimately do to their business model.
I mean, to me, every company from General Motors on down to the corner grocery store or gift shop can look at these four things and say, I got an action.
Strengths and weaknesses are internal. Opportunities and threats are external. Folks, this little exercise might be the difference between success or failure or success and outrageous success. Tim Till, right back with our good friend Gene Siciliano after these messages. Stay with us. Back, as in the Rolling, those guys, yeah. One of their classics. That's the problem, small business owners. We don't get no satisfaction, right? We need some satisfaction. We need some satisfaction, and as Aretha said, we need some respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. That's all we want, right, small business owners? Just a little satisfaction, a little respect, and maybe a little love, too. That's right. I could use a little more love, couldn't you, in the marketplace? Gene Siciliano knows all about that. He helps people that companies who he works with, he helps them get a little more love, respect, and satisfaction in the marketplace, don't you, Gene?
In the bank account, mostly.
Exactly. We like it. That's where I like my love to be deposited, right there in the old bank account. Tell the audience how we can find you and remind us what you do.
Okay. Financial Management Consulting is the label. But what I do essentially is to help business owners understand the financial workings of their business, help them change their internal processes so that their business functions more profitably, more effectively, more successfully. That's what I do.
And tell us how we can find you.
There are a couple of websites. The main my main website is CFO4Rent, CFO4Rent.com.
All right.
And you can also find me at GeneSiciliano.com.
So check that out. And that's Gene Siciliano with an S, Siciliano with an S. Gene, this SWOT analysis, S-W-O-T, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. Folks, this is outstanding. You know, over the years, we've talked about this, but I'm telling you, this approach that Gene's giving you is outstanding. It's probably one of the most important little exercises you can do. You know, come into the office at a time when things are quiet and get those. It's important that you separate them on four sheets of paper, right? I mean, that's really important.
Yeah,
I
really got to separate those in your mind because we tend to run them together if we don't.
I called them buckets a minute ago, and the reason you got to do that is because you already have them. You already know all this stuff, but if you don't separate them, as I said before, the ugly stuff is going to get bigger and meaner and hairier than the good stuff. But don't you think you said you don't need to do a whole big business plan to make this happen? But the good news is this is the origin of a good business plan.
It should be. It absolutely should be. It's what's the strength and how do I leverage it? It's a two column kind of thing.
Yep.
What's the strength? How do I leverage it? What's the weakness? How do I protect against it? What's the opportunity? How do I take advantage of it? You can get all of that on four pieces of paper, and you've got the most dynamic plan, particularly for this time.
And it's a great way to get your people to be focusing on the same things with regard to the good and the bad and the ugly.
That's really the key word, isn't it, Jim? Focus. That's what it does. It focuses your thinking instead of rambling over the whole landscape of things you could do in your business. You know, there's always a good reason to spend money. That doesn't mean it's always a good idea.
Well, you're going to introduce these four things, these four lists of things to your people. And then here's what's going to happen. It's going to be a beautiful thing, ladies and gentlemen. In a month or two or three, one of your people is going to come back and say, "Hey, boss, you know that third page there, that opportunity thing? I was just out, you know, visiting with so-and-so, and something just occurred to me. Could this be an opportunity?" And they're going to bring you something. Or "Hey, boss, you know that we had that list of threats? I just saw something the other day. Could that be a threat? Maybe it'd be something you haven't even seen before." You got your brain trust working for you now.
Bravo, that's exactly right.
Not just delivering product.
And you'll do some of this stuff, and your key people will say, "Whoa, he got it." Because mm-hmm. they'll know some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
But it hasn't been surfaced before. It hasn't been focused on. And now you and your team, down to the guy in the shipping department, perhaps, can enroll in this whole process because it's simple and direct, and as you said, it's focused.
And Gene, let me ask you a question. Don't you think a little bit refined in a little more elegant way that this is also a good way to talk to your banker?
Actually, it is. It's a plan. It's a plan that focuses on things that'll make your company better. What banker would not want to hear that story?
Well, for one thing, you could say, okay, banker, here's what I think we do well, and here are our weaknesses, and here are the opportunities we don't want to take advantage of, and here are the things that we're concerned about. This is how I need. This is why I need the money from you to address these issues.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think most bankers don't understand the businesses that they lend to, and with this kind of an understanding, your banker feels comfortable that he understands,
mm-hmm.
and he knows you're not perfect, and he knows you know you're not perfect, and you got a plan to fix it. I think that makes him comfortable.
And it makes him feel, exactly, it makes him feel comfortable because you've identified what he's glad you know these things.
You bet.
Because he needs to know that. A scared banker never helped anybody, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, Gene, thanks for being here. Give us that website again one more time.
CFORENT.com.
And the book is called Finance for the Non-Financial Manager. Hey, thanks, Gene. We'll see you next time.
You're welcome.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.